and welcome to the podcast The Lotus Eaters for the 30th of December 2021. I am joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about why Posey Parker shows why the Turfs will win, and I sincerely mean that. Also, Maxwell has been found guilty on all five charges.
So. Well, five of the six, still a good day, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm sorry to hear of her suicide in prison. I sent a memo from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, we called it first. Yeah.
Also, Labour to train normal and competent MPs, which apparently is a manifesto promise.
the fact they've even had to say that is so telling, isn't it?
Weird flex. Our MPs Guess what? Will be normal, we swear.
Really high bar.
Yeah, I thought I'd do a bit of Labour bashing because you know I like it. It's pet.
It's your Christmas treat to yourself.
Pet decadence, sort of phrases. So.
Pet hobby?
I don't know, making stuff up. Let's go stuff on the website. So the first thing here being ditch the mask, pussies. This is a video by Thomas, and he did this, and he's just saying essentially that stop being a freak. And as you can see by the thumbnail there, the lunatics are not the people hanging out, the people in the full hazmat suits. And that one is exclusive for the website, not on YouTube, because YouTube's editorial guidelines on masks says you can't question masks. So couldn't do that. So go and check it out there. Good fun. I think that one's free as well, so you don't have to subscribe, so don't worry about that either. But if we go to the next one, we do have something you will have to subscribe to get the gold and silver tier tracks here. I believe it's premium as well, so yes, you will have to also read it. It's Hugo's article, Why the West Needs City-States, and has now been republished with the audio track from our good friend Jonathan, who does an English accent, not a Nigerian one.
What's this Nigerian accent stuff?
Hugo wrote an article on Nigeria's situation back when it was in hell, and... we joked about Jonathan doing an audio track for it and doing it in a Nigerian accent. And then he sent a video comment in just attempting it. Why not?
Fair play.
Yeah. And also the last thing to mention, of course, is getter.com with lotuseaters_com being the ad there. So go and follow us on Getter to keep up with what's going on. But otherwise, I'm very happy.
You are?
Posey Parker done good. Done very good. Anyway, so... Posey Parker decided to go on talk radio and absolutely smashed it. I'm talking out of the ballpark, kind of smashed it. And she's done this previously with other people who have interviewed her on there and made them look ridiculous. But this one was particularly interesting because the host really doesn't get it. And it's so stark, the difference in just the understanding of what's going on. So this is, of course, the debate around whether or not you can change your sex. And the scientific answer is no. The TERF answer is no. And the... trans rights activist answer is yes, which doesn't make any sense, but okay. So we'll get this up if we can. So this is the tweet from Talk Radio here. And as you can see, they interviewed Posey Parker or Kelly Jane Keene. I prefer Posey Parker because just it's what I'm used to at this point.
Rolls off the tongue as well.
Yeah, also it's like Sargon or Carl, you know. If you're used to one, then fair enough. And you can see the discussion here is about J.K. Rowling's horrible, disgusting views in the trans row that women are women. And James says, I'm slightly staggered by your views. And... Posey says what? That biological sex exists. As they list there. that's what he is staggered by.
About 5 years ago-ish, maybe a bit more than that, that would have been just Probably a normal thing to say. And all of a sudden people are just like, I can't even conceive of how we can hold these absurd views.
You should
like,
cancel,
like,
you will say.
Clearly these people held these views for most of their life as well.
This went terribly, and we will play the whole thing because I think it's just worth going through. But I want to go to immediately his response afterwards because he noticed that a lot of people thought he did incredibly poorly. And he responds with, there's a lot of noise over this interview. In my opinion, Chris Rankin explains it better when he says, quote, when a trans person says that they are male or female, that is what they are, and that is how we should treat them. It is damaging to them to say otherwise.
So when I was a kid and I called myself a dinosaur... If you didn't call me a dinosaur, it was damaging to me.
This is the attack helicopter meme all
yes,
over again.
Yes, but repurposed in a case that is actually true.
Yeah, and you with your psychological background, you can actually speak to this stuff better than I can. But I'm sure you will be as much cringing as we will be, as we enjoy.
Yeah. Validating people's delusions is not good.
Let's go.
Funnily enough.
Let's go for the first clip.
If somebody says that they're a female and they're not, and they get found out, then... they've been dishonest. Does it mean that they should lose their livelihood? Absolutely not, depending on obviously what that job is. But no, I don't really understand how that's got anything to do with J.K. Rowling.
Well, it's got everything to do with it, because if, for example, you have a look at the discrimination that does arrive at people. So you have this individual here, born as George Jameson, transitioned, and then became became a model. And then when she was exposed as having been originally born as a man, as opposed to the woman that she portrayed, then her life was kind of over and the discrimination started. And
so I wanted to pause it there because this is an issue that I don't really come back to at any point in the debate, which is really quite sad because it's a starting point of just how wrong James there is. So he says that a man, biological man, who thinks he's a woman, wants to be a woman, therefore is a trans woman, goes out to do modeling or something, and then they find out that, well, he's not a woman, he's a biological man, therefore, well, this position is for women. Bye. You don't get to do this position. That's discrimination that's unacceptable, cannot have that in society, this is disgusting, and Posey Parker is approving this sort of stuff by saying that men are men and women are women. Yeah, and? Is my response to that? It's in the same way that if you wanted to play George Floyd in an upcoming movie, you kind of have to be black. It'd be a bit weird if he was white in the whole movie.
Yeah, there are certain criteria that you kind of have to get right if you're doing a certain role, right?
To be a female model, you have to be a female. I don't think that's unreasonable. And if this person had just not told them, well, then he was being deceitful as well, wasn't he? In the fact that he was not saying that, you know, he was a man and is a man biologically. And so, yeah, it's not unjust either. It's just silly. But I wanted to get that out of the way because they don't come back to it. But let's move on. So Posey makes the perfectly scientific point that you cannot change your sex. Let's play.
I guess, you know, it
meaning
is...
Meaning what? How is his life over?
Well, do you call him or her?
Totally him.
You see, that's the problem because they were born a man and then... And then they became a woman. So they can never be her.
Absolutely. I don't think any man can ever become a woman. No.
So then there's the problem, isn't it?
What? Not lying.
Well, it's not a question of not lying. It's a question of not necessarily understanding that somebody can be born in somebody else's body, in the sense that you can be born physically a man or a woman, but inside you may be, and it has been recognised that you might yourself be an opposing sex in terms of how your brain works. Are you saying that that person should be discriminated against for the rest of their life because of the physicality of it?
No, I'm saying what you've just said there is absolute nonsense. There's no way that you can be, you are your body. There is no separation between your biological sex.
No, you see, I'm afraid that's wrong.
No.
Shut up.
In what possible way would the DNA of a human build all the cells one sex except a tiny little bit of a brain that would be a different sex?
Well, that's not necessarily. I mean, are you an expert in this?
Well, I'd probably say I was more of an expert than somebody who thinks you can actually change.
Well, you're just telling me that you're an expert because you're female and therefore...
No, you used the word expert. I didn't use the word expert. You did.
Yeah, well, you're telling me that you can't possibly, but you have no expertise to back it up. Whereas doctors who are experts will say that people can be born. Do you accept
that? No,
some...
doctors don't say that. People who are invested, medical professionals who are invested in the industry might well suggest that there is such a thing as being born in the wrong body. Doctors who actually care about patients and truth and honesty don't say such things.
Perfect. I love the cojones on her, just to stand her ground and be like, go to hell.
Yeah, good for her. And James Max, absolutely insufferable.
Yeah, it's just really bad. But I love the point that he's like, yeah, but it's this person was discriminated against because they said they were a woman and then they weren't. And then, well, the job was for a woman to buy. It's not like stacking shelves. It doesn't matter what sex you are if you're stacking shelves or, you know, working in a pub or in a kitchen, right? That's not it's not of note. But if it is relevant, well, then it is relevant. And it is.
If being a woman is part of the criteria of the job, then funnily enough, it's okay for them to say, okay, well, if you are a man, then maybe it's not all right.
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, well, there are doctors who would say that you can change your sex. And Kelly's just like, no, what are you talking about? I mean, absolutely not. And does he reference any doctors? No, he doesn't. He doesn't say what. Just there are doctors out there.
There are people out there. There are people out there that say everything. It doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah, anyway. But if we go to the next link on here, so I want to demonstrate the link first so people go and find it, please, John, which is that there is, of course, a section we followed before. Next link, please, which is Professor Robert Winston, who is a professor of fertility, has a million, you know, letters after his name. and is an excellent guy. I actually met him when I was in secondary school. I went to a talk of his. It was quite weird being a secondary school kid, and he turns up and he's like, "You're going to get 50,000 sperm by the end of my talk." I was like, "Yeah, fertility professors, weird people." He was talking to the audience, not just me, by the way.
Yeah, it's just like you specifically.
But yeah, he's now the Professor of Science and Society at the Imperial College London and Professor of Fertility Studies at Imperial College London as well. And he went on Question Time and just, well, gave the scientific version of events, let's say, because it is what it is and there is no arguing with it. And of course, the Question Time host decided that, well, the science might say that, but my feelings, and tries to correct him in big quotation marks there. Let's play the next clip.
I'm interested in your view, given that you were Vice-Chancellor of Sheffield Hallam, weren't you, for some time. I mean, this, you've mentioned Kathleen Stock, and that's a trans issue, but obviously academic freedom has been talked about in a number of areas in recent years.
I was rather hoping that you'd be interested in my opinion as a biologist, which just seems rather more important, because I've got to say...
Well, I'm just saying, only because the issue of academic freedom isn't solely...
I'm about to say something which will mean that you'll probably want to edit the programme when I finish. But basically...
OK, right. OK, I
will say this categorically, that you cannot change your sex. Your sex actually is there in every single cell in the body. You have a chromosomal sex, you have genetic sex, you have hormonal sex, you have all sorts of different kinds of psychological, brain sex, they're all different. And we are very confused about this, unfortunately, and regrettably, it's got into this argument that people are now, will now accuse me of being transphobic.
Well, obviously, there are trans people who say you absolutely can do that.
Well, unfortunately, you can't say this publicly. This is one of the big problems. Even saying this on this programme undoubtedly will result in my getting a huge amount of hate mail. It always does. But I do think it's a big issue about the attitudes. There are, of course, issues which are important about young people who are confused about their sex, but we won't go down that route here. But it does affect a whole lot of issues in schools and elsewhere in our society. Of course we should accept people as they are. Overall, I think it's a very sad thing that we can't discuss biological science without actually getting completely caught up emotionally with something which is really completely wrong.
Well, as I say, there are people who would vehemently disagree with you, so I'm just going to make that clear.
It's like, right, so I'm the number one scientist in the room on this topic, you know, got loads of years in fertility studies, the number one guy in the country, if not maybe like all of Europe on this issue. And he's like, yeah, so here's this scientific stuff. She goes, yes, but there are people who disagree with you. Like, not because the science has changed, not because any of the evidence has changed, not because biology has been found out to all been false the whole time, there's not a science or something. No, just beliefs. Thoughts. Okay.
I mean, this is taught essentially as fact in medicine and psychology. I mean, I didn't have a single lecturer that doubted that sex dictates what gender you identify with. And, you know, gender dysphoria is still a thing in the UK, thankfully. And although it's been removed through political pressure in the States, I think people who are serious about their academic discipline can identify that actually it's not a healthy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who have it, and I imagine that they would actually prefer not to have this dysphoria between their actual biological identity and how they identify themselves.
You can see the sadness of the professor at the end there, who's like, God, I wish I could just talk about science like we used to be able to 10 years ago. Well, he used to be able to do what he want and just talk facts, and now, nah, facts are verboten. Anyway, let's go to the next clip, and we can see Kelly talking about this, about whether or not you could be born gay or a woman, which is a weird thing to bring up, but James tries.
Let's just establish how that. Can you be born gay?
I think there are two routes to homosexuality. According to someone like Sheila Jeffries, you can either be born gay or you can choose to be gay.
You can choose to be gay?
Well, yeah, that's according to
really?
People who have written about it. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you'd probably have to survey the entire population of gay people. I certainly know some gay people who don't think they were born gay, and I know plenty that do.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, and so you don't think that you could be born female, but in fact, in terms of how you operate, you are a man?
No, I think you can probably be born any sex and behave in any way, and that doesn't really change your biological structure.
But isn't that because you are certain on who you are, in the sense that I'm pretty certain on who I am, and therefore we can come at this subject with the knowledge and the experience that we have? But you could never be in the body, in the mind, in the brain of somebody else. And in fact, by saying the things that you're saying is pretty hateful, pretty disturbing and pretty unpleasant.
How is it hateful? I think what you're saying is pretty hateful towards women, actually, that somebody can just rock up and decide to change.
They don't decide.
Of course they do.
No, you see, that's the problem. That's the problem. You're assuming that they do. Whereas I'm saying, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this, and I'm not somebody, and therefore, I am unsure. But people tell me who have gone through transitioning, it's probably the most difficult thing to face, to confront, to deal with. And because of the views of people like you, it means that they are facing discrimination at every turn, and you're making their lives worse.
I love how just reported there. She does respond in a minute and we'll play it. But I love the fact she just immediately hits back. And you can see how the conversation has degenerated into, well, I've lost the argument, so I'll just call you hateful. And she's like, no, you're hateful against women. Just hit back twice.
It's so painful because why is he talking as any authority? He
clearly
also
knows nothing.
Says you're no expert, but then also is putting himself on a pedestal. Mm. I mean,
I am an expert because I have the politically correct opinions. Not because I have the scientific knowledge, but because of the politically correct opinions.
His basic argument is just that, okay, because people say they are something, we must listen to them. I mean,
not an argument.
No.
Anyway.
Are you 2 years old?
Let's go to the next clip in which she makes the point that she doesn't want men in women's spaces, and that's what's important about this topic.
I just don't want men in women's spaces, and I don't care how those men identify. So it's up to everybody, however they want to live their lives, that's fine. But when it impinges upon my life...
How does it impinge on your life?
Well, if I want to go in a female-only space and there's men in there who decide that they're women, then it's no longer a female-only space, is it?
But then men were told that they wanted to have men over any spaces, and then they were told that that was discrimination. They weren't allowed to do it.
Good point.
So are men more unsafe now they can't have the golf clubs?
Well, it's not a question of safe. It's just that it's cake and eat it, isn't it?
Well, it is for women.
Right.
It is a question of safety for women. We are much
less.
What,
so all men are predators?
No, not all men. Just the one. Some are, and we don't know which ones they are. That's why we have segregated spaces.
Right. I mean, isn't it better that we try and train all people to be a little bit more respectful to each other?
Argument.
Well, when we don't have any men committing sexual assault, rape and domestic violence, then I will totally agree with you that we could do that. But until that happens, I'm afraid...
And so women don't commit those crimes as well?
Not at the rate of men, no. As they certainly don't commit rape.
Right.
I was watching a stream yesterday called it on Academic Agents channel, and there was a section there where he was talking about the force of feminists, like the way they've won their cultural... power, and then, well, it's been devolved and now they're trying to win it back. And you can see it in Posey Parker, the fact that she's forceful about this conversation. I'm just not going to believe any nonsense. I'm not going to have any nonsense conversations with you. And I think it's amazing. There's also obviously the point about, well, women's only spaces are a safety issue because you can't have men in there, such as a prison. You cannot have a male rapist been sent to a female prison because he claims that he's a woman and then rapes the female inmates, as has happened in the UK. There's not even a what if.
The thing is, we're both obviously in favour of equality before the law for the different sexes, but that you have to make some concessions. It's not just, yeah, anyone can use any bathroom, that's fine.
Well, this
because you have to accommodate for reality as well.
Men and female-only spaces are important,
of course.
They should both be allowed. And you say, of course, but we don't have that. And,
I know, it's so common sense, it almost seems silly to say it, doesn't it? But
yeah, there's also obviously the point, I mean, Posey will correct herself in a minute. Of course, male-only spaces are not just like the golf club. It's about, you know, male domestic violence shelters as well also exist and need to be a male-only space because, well, he's been beaten up by his wife. Why would he want to hear women?
Isn't the data that a lot of the time, like physical assaults are often instigated majority of the time by women?
I don't have the data.
I think I have that off the top of my head. I could be wrong, obviously. I think it's true.
But let's go to the next one, in which we have him just saying that she should be cancelled now. So because he's lost all the arguments, and he's already tried calling her hateful, he's just like, right, you shouldn't be allowed to talk anymore because he lost. Let's play it.
Okay. I am slightly staggered by your views on the basis that... I may have to change my mind. Maybe it was right that if you take those views, maybe you should be cancelled.
Oh, no.
Wow. You're on talk radio, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you think people should be cancelled for having a view?
No, I don't. I don't think they should be. I don't think people should be cancelled. And I would like people to have different views. But it's just I find it staggering that you would want to have this kind of discrimination perpetrated against people who are born different from you.
No, I want men out of women's spaces. That's not born different. That's a biological fact. And that biological fact determines whether or not somebody is a risk to women.
And is it okay if men... Okay, all right, fine. No, I understand. No, I understand. So is it okay if men said that they wanted women out of their spaces? Is that all right?
Do you mean like private spaces like toilets and places where men might undress?
Might be.
Well, absolutely. Of course women shouldn't be in those spaces.
Okay. And what about other places?
Like what?
I don't know.
Like what places?
Bars, restaurants, or anything else? I mean, should we just go back to segregated society?
The reason feminists decided that they wanted to eradicate some of those men-only spaces is because in those corridors of power, that's where important conversations were taking place, and women, by not being allowed in those spaces, were out of the conversation. That is a very different thing than wanting to keep men out of women's spaces, like when women are undressing. I mean, I will ask you the age-old question. Does my 15-year-old daughter have the right to go in a female-only space and expect there only to be females?
But if there are only females, if somebody is or has transitioned, then they are a female.
Well, 90% of men that say they transition have no intention of taking hormones or losing their genitals. And so, as far as I'm concerned, you don't transition anywhere. There's no such thing. Nobody ever changes from one sex to another. But certainly what we're talking about predominantly with men is men over the age of 40 deciding that they want to dress as women. It's what we used to call transvestites. And so this whole transgender just totally loses the fact of what really is going on. Most people who call themselves trans are not transsexuals. They're transgender. They're transvestites in old language.
Right. Okay, well then let's leave the old language. Kelly J. Keane, founder of Standing for Women, thank you very much indeed for joining us here.
Did you see how he thinks he won that? Well, it's like, no, you got destroyed, mate.
The fact he was talking about segregating things like restaurants, just like, thing. Yeah, you're going to go out to dinner with your wife, your girlfriend. She's like, you know what, love? You're sitting over the other side. I'm going to sit on my own.
You can tell he hasn't thought about it at all. He's taken like Jim Crow laws from Southern America, from like, what is it, the 50s, 40s and whatnot, and just been like, yeah, what if that on sex? Because we never had that in this country, never mind on sexual basis. And he just made it up. We'll go back to the ages of sex. Back to what? When was that the case?
I also find it ridiculous that this is a recent phenomenon. So in his lifetime, he agreed with her because there was no alternative. Mm. So he's acting all high and mighty when in reality, for most of his life, he's held that position and he's acting as if he can't even understand it or comprehend it, although he says he does.
Well, not even that. It's hateful. And should be cancelled. Shouldn't even be allowed to be had. I mean, unbelievable. I also just have to mention, I mean, Patience of a Saint in Posey there.
It was a top performance by her, obviously. Yeah.
You could tell how you could get peed off dealing with someone like this and having that discussion, but she didn't. She remained calm.
She dealt with it very well. Yeah. I would have been a bit more annoyed than...
If you could scroll up on this, John. I was going to go through it, but we don't have the time. It's basically just him arguing with people on Twitter. Because he lost, and I don't think took that well. And so still not really getting the message. And if we go to the next one, Debbie Hayden decided to come out and say that she was going to go on there and talk to him about this as well. And this is when the cat sort of left the bag. Because you remember he said, the experts agree with me on this. The experts agree with the politically correct position that you can change your sex, not the scientific position that you can't. And, well, we found out why. And if we can play the next clip, it's because his experts are stonewalled. That's the people.
I think what you said before about it being a complex issue, in some ways it is, but in some ways it's a very simple issue that there are two sexes, there are male and there are female. And what you got wrong was forgetting that and concentrating on something else, which I think is called gender identity, which is unclear and is ethereal, and I think has caused huge damage to trans rights over the past 10 years. We need to refine trans rights in reality, not on this fantasy.
OK, so are you telling me then that the people who are defied trans, so say, for example, if one goes to the people who are experts, because a lot of people will say, look, if you don't feel like you know very much about trans people, they start off, and this is Stonewall.
Stonewall. He then goes on to quote Stonewall for a stupid purpose, which I don't care about because we've heard it a million times.
Stonewall, no more than the biological and psychological consensus. That's great. A charity that has a financial, a so-called charity that has a vested interest in propagating these ideas to maintain their own business.
I mean, they literally get funded by the government on this basis, though increasingly defunded by the government thanks to Liz Truss. And so, yeah, Posey, you were right. You're absolutely right. He is not quoting experts. He is quoting a lobbying group as his experts. And then he decides, well, okay, that looks silly, or at least seemed to admit that looks silly. And he's got some more experts lined up, not just a lobbying group who are obsessed with this stuff. No, he went with quoting Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson.
What?
Let's play.
The stars of Harry Potter have made their statements about all of this. So Daniel Radcliffe, and some would say, well, he's a bloke, so what does he know? But he said transgender women, yes, are women. Emma Watson, so she says, trans people are who they say they are and deserve to live their lives without being constantly questioned or told that they aren't who they say they are.
I don't care. I don't care what two stupid actors have to say.
Yeah.
The biological consensus is what's important. You know, the biological reality, the evidence of your own eyes, James. And instead, he doesn't accept that.
Anyone who cites actors and actresses as their kind of philosophical true north,
well, biological has... experts. Why? Because they have the politically correct opinion.
They know magic, don't you know? They must have the right answers.
Change the sex with a flick of the wand. A little bit of potion, I suppose. And the last thing I wanted to mention, if James stumbles across this, which is, think of what you're asking for. Also, Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson, think of what you're asking for if you say that someone can change their sex and should be treated as they say. They just say they're a woman, they should be allowed to go to a woman's prison, for example. Well, then we have an example, don't we? I mean, this is the dog nonsense we covered, but there are plenty of other examples of people who are transgender and therefore decide, I want to go to a woman's prison. And the policy is, go ahead, even though you're a rapist, even though you're a nonce, even though you're a sexual predator, go for it. And many a sad story becomes of that, because what were you expecting to happen?
I think this is the best advertisement for these people aren't exactly right.
It's if you're dealing with people, you are going to get people, not angels. And therefore, well, we have to deal with them as people anyway. So that's why I think Posey Parker is demonstrating that the TERFs are going to win that battle, which is the fact that she's very forceful and strong on the topic and doesn't take no S and continuously wins. Good pub, Posey.
Talking about people who certainly aren't angels, Ghislaine Maxwell has been found guilty.
Putting it lightly.
I know, obviously, complete monster, but at least we have some justice here. I was a little bit worried because me and Carl covered the setup of the trial, and there were lots of fishy things, how, you know, they were keeping things hush-hush about the details, and how there weren't cameras in the courtroom.
They already planned a suicide day.
Yeah. And Bloomberg were writing pieces like, well, actually, Ghislaine Maxwell might be the real victim. And then it turns out that Michael Bloomberg is photographed with Ghislaine Maxwell. I can't see there being a hidden agenda behind that piece whatsoever. But never mind. Justice seems to have been served. And it's a good day. I'm going to have a toast to this.
I wish we had some champagne. But
yeah, well, we've got to wait until tomorrow. Going to be at least drinking one drink to her going to prison for the rest of her life.
So what was she found guilty of?
Well, I'm just going to read from this BBC article, which actually lists all of the charges and the one which didn't stick for some reason. So it says the 60-year-old was found guilty on five of the six counts she faced, including the most serious charge, that of sex trafficking a minor. The verdict was reached after five full days of deliberation by a 12-person jury in New York. It means the British socialite could spend the rest of her life behind bars. A date for Maxwell's sentencing has not yet been set. So she's been found guilty, but they haven't actually figured out a sentence. However, the charge for trafficking alone carries a sentence of 40 years.
Minimum, so, or maximum?
I'm not entirely sure. Okay. I mean, I simply didn't have the time to look at the ins and outs of the specific
laws. But either
laws,
way, but she's there till she dies.
Yeah, with five different charges, yeah. And she's 60, which is why I mentioned that. There's no way she's getting out of prison unless some funny business goes on, basically. And it is possible.
I mean, we were joking earlier, if she spills the beans on every single person who's been to the island, Bill Clinton, then we might be able to commute her sentence somewhat, but either way, she's going to be in there for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. So the actual charges she was found guilty of, I've got them listed in 1 to 5. Sex trafficking of a minor, transporting a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, conspiracy to transport minors with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of minors and conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illicit sex acts. However, she was found not guilty on one count, enticing of a minor to travel to engage in illicit sex acts, which kind of surprising, but there's enough there that she is going to spend a long time in prison, which is, I guess,
I'm trying to find what the difference is between like the last one she was found guilty of and the one she wasn't.
I know, I couldn't really tell the difference either. And because I'm not a lawyer, I have not tried to explain it. I'm going to leave that. There are plenty of good people on YouTube that are lawyers and understand this stuff that are probably better off than me at doing it. But she has also been accused of lying under oath by hiding her participation in Epstein's crimes. However, nothing has come of this yet. But this may come into fruition in the coming months because this hasn't actually been tried because, of course, the verdict here has implicated her as guilty and therefore it's now provable that she lied under oath and therefore there's potential for more charges to be levelled against her for lying in previous trials. So that's something, I suppose.
I mean, if it doesn't have the death penalty, it doesn't change much, but...
I know. I mean, if there's a case where someone probably deserves it, well, definitely deserves it. I don't know why I said probably. So one thing that I did think was interesting is Maxwell's reaction was supposedly unusual, I would say. There were no cameras there, so I'm only going by hearsay. But apparently Maxwell showed no visible sign of emotion as the verdict was read out on Wednesday, only pouring herself a glass of water, which she sipped from twice. So she was completely indifferent, and I don't know...
I mean, probably unsurprised by the results.
Well, I imagine she knew that she was guilty.
Yeah.
That might be a part of it.
You know, if you've done the murder, you know you're going to be found guilty of the murder.
I mean, there's also the fact that at the start of the trial, she's doing things like blowing kisses to her sister and was being all smiley and happy and friendly. And
I mean, that's even creepier when you know you're guilty.
Yeah. And there were some weird puff pieces by journalists just like, oh, I think it was... The New York Times or something like that. I don't want to say the specific one off the top of my head, but they're basically saying, oh, she was oddly charming, actually. It's like, that's such a weird thing to say.
A BLM are outside, like, justice for Ghislaine.
It's really bizarre. But, yeah, it seems like she may have other plans, maybe. I mean, we shall see later that there are things in the works that may undermine justice from being done. Or maybe she's just accepted her fate. I mean... I can't kind of armchair psychologize despite my background because I haven't been able to see any of the footage or anything. So, but I suppose that we can move on to the victim's reactions. So Annie Farmer, which I presume to be a pseudonym, who was one of the women who testified against Maxwell, said, I am so relieved and grateful that the jury recognised her pattern of predatory behaviour. I hope this verdict brings solace to all of those who need it and demonstrates that no one is above the law. Which, you know, fair enough. Glad that she's pleased with the outcome. And also Virginia Guthrie, who did not testify, rather controversially in this trial, said, my soul yearned for justice for years and today the jury gave me just that. I'll remember this day always. Having lived with the horrors of Maxwell's abuse, my heart goes out to the many other girls and young women who suffered at her hands and whose lives she destroyed. I hope that today is not just the end, but rather another step in justice being served. Maxwell did not act alone. Others must be held accountable. I have faith that they will be. Although I'm not as optimistic, I certainly want to see other people held accountable.
You'd love to see it. I mean, I'm even up for putting the corpse of Jeffrey Epstein up on a trial square. Why not? I mean, if we find a corpse guilty, I mean, it'd just be fun to at least get a... guilty verdict there in stone.
I have a feeling he won't be able to defend himself very well, but
I don't care.
It's just a show trial.
Yeah, why not?
What do you say in your defense?
Sorry, who's gonna suffer? The corpse, like.
He's just been pleading the fifth this whole time. Rather unfortunately, Maxwell's family have launched an appeal for some reason after the verdict. So if you move on to this article by GB News, says, shortly after the verdict, her legal team said they're already working on an appeal. We firmly believe in Ghislaine's innocence, her lawyer, Bobby Sternheim, told reporters. In a statement posted on Twitter early, I think this morning, Maxwell's family said that they were very disappointed with the verdict and already begun the appeal process. So it seems like her family is still backing her and trying to get her out of it, They haven't thrown her under the bus, it seems.
And you would have thought you'd disown her from the family?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty good criteria, all the things she did, to disown someone from your family, no matter who they are. You're like, well, no, I don't want anything to do with you. You're a monster.
Child trafficker.
Mm. And the statement said on Twitter, "We firmly believe our sister's innocence. We are very disappointed with the verdict. We have already started the appeal tonight, and we believe that she will ultimately be vindicated." Under what grounds?
do they mention anything?
No, they don't. They don't give away any potential evidence.
They just don't think it should be a crime, or what?
I don't know entirely, but it seems like something's in the works to try and get her out. But I don't know whether it's going to come to anything.
They made a deal with the devil. Hillary Clinton's going to bust her out. Or something.
if the devil is on earth, it must be Hillary Clinton, though. You make a good point. But something interesting as well is that Ghislaine Maxwell's Little Black Book is to remain a secret. This isn't necessarily recent, but it's worth going over because the judge has warned against needless name dropping, which is kind of bizarre to me.
But it's on the internet.
I know.
This is what I don't get about the, like, we're going to hide it from the court document. You can find the full names, phone numbers, and email addresses of everyone in the book.
I think there's
the
a somewhat redacted version. There's not the full version.
Oh, no, I've seen the full version. Have you? Where you literally, like, you know, so people mention Andrew Neil's name was in the contacts book, for example. You can see, his email,
I will be
his
careful.
Address,
he literally sues anyone for
I'm not saying you should go and find it or contact him for anything of the sort, but I'm saying it's strange to me that a court would censor that when they know you can get it on the internet with, you know, minimal work. It's just that aspect of it is strange.
I have actually got a link to Epstein's Black Book, which I was able to find, which is, it's got the names of
the
people, but it's got the phone numbers, but I think, fair enough. You only really need to know the names. You don't want to be calling people up, but
yeah,
it's a very useful thing to go through. And if you go on our website in the reading list, you should be able to find it.
But this is the strangeness. It's like, if the court wanted to release a redacted version, well then that would be perfectly suitable, and the fact that they don't want to, even though it's out there, I find strange.
I do implore people to go through. There's too much there to go through today, but there are lots of familiar names there that it's just interesting, that's all. And
to be said on the caveat of this, though, is that it's a contacts book, so it's not...
Obviously, being in the book doesn't imply guilt, but...
It means that she knew them, not that they weren't on the planes or even took part in any of the stuff.
And I mean, in the high society sort of thing, people kind of rub shoulders with everyone, which is kind of what Trump said, wasn't it?
She was his secretary, so that's the contact book for when you want to contact so-and-so. I've got the number.
But yeah, the Little Black Book, which can Maxwell's one, which contains, I believe, more names than Epstein's, supposedly, names and addresses of nearly 2,000 world leaders, celebrities, and victims, that the court wants to keep this secret. Apparently, it's a full 97... pages long as well, which is a bit crazy, really, that they had that many people. But
billionaire paedophile knows a lot of people.
Oh, apparently so. Apparently there are names in there like former President Clinton as well. So, but I'm going to skip over this. If you can find it online, there's no point me describing what's in there because you can look it up yourself, and I suggest you do so.
I'm going to move your mic a little bit. I can hear you rubbing up against the.
Sorry. Right. So there's also, The Guardian has actually made a good point, which I know it's an unusual thing, but apparently they're turning over a leaf for the new year, maybe, I don't know.
Think Noncery is bad now?
No way. But no, they point out that Prince Andrew has emerged with barely a mention in the Maxwell trial. And this is kind of unusual considering he's one of the high profile people that are implicated in these crimes, isn't he? So I'm going to read from this article, and it says, "For the Duke of York, the fact that he was barely mentioned in Ghislaine Maxwell's trial will be an undoubted relief. With Maxwell declining the stand, no opening of her Little Black Book of society contacts, and crucially, no sign of his accuser, Virginia Roberts Guffrey, Prince Andrew was merely a footnote in the New York's proceedings. Maxwell opted not to give evidence before being found guilty on 5 of 6 charges, saying there's no need because prosecutors had failed to prove their case, so the subject of Andrew was not raised with her via cross-examination. Of her book of contacts, said to be..." This is going over the same stuff again. There's also the fact, and they mention this here, that the appearance of Guffrey, who is one of the main accusers of Andrew, wasn't she wasn't present in the trial, which is interesting in and of itself. And obviously, if she testified in the Maxwell trial, that would bring more attention to Prince Andrew's case, which is very interesting. But I believe she came to some sort of financial settlement, didn't she, in the end? So it might be that she's kind of somewhat done and dusted with Andrew and is perhaps moving on to other people. I don't know necessarily. But I think she's still suing Andrew, claiming that he had sex with her on three other occasions 2 decades ago when she was 17. But it's kind of a bit murky. Like, you hear of her doing this deal for financial settlements out of court, but then there are also reports of there being a lawsuit as well. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on here, but never mind. Moving on. If you want to know more about the background, Carl did a good article about Epstein's crimes and his relation to Maxwell. And this gives all of the background information. You can find that again in the reading list on the website. And it's definitely worth a read. I know that me and Carl went over this when we were talking about the setup for the trial as well. But moving on, final few things. The BBC carried out probably one of the worst blunders they could have. They interviewed a lawyer about the Maxwell case who is implicated in the same crimes.
This is Mr. Dershowitz.
Which is literally the worst thing that they could have done.
And how do you feel about this alleged nonce? What?
And the BBC's record on dealing with paedophiles isn't exactly rosy, is it?
No, so
it's it's not exactly a good look for the BBC. So this Times article says, the BBC was criticised last night after interviewing a lawyer for his reaction to the Ghislaine Maxwell verdict, despite him being implicated in the case. Alan Dershowitz, who was previously Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, has been accused of sexual abuse by Virginia Guffrey, the same woman who alleged similar charges against Prince Andrew. Both men denied the charges. And the BBC issued an apology, where it says, last night's interview with Alan Dershowitz after the Ghislaine Maxwell verdict did not meet the BBC's editorial standards, as Mr. Dershowitz was not a suitable person to interview as an impartial analyst, and we did not make the relevant background clear to our audience. We will look into how this has happened. I mean, that's pretty basic. He was Epstein's lawyer.
Then, what do you mean you're going to look into how this happened? You know how it happened. You decided to do it. Like, what are you hoping to discover?
I mean, you could just Google his name, and one of the main things that comes up is that he was Epstein's lawyer.
But whoever your reporter was that was down there knows, surely. They're following the case.
Clearly, clearly, even in the most basic of things, the BBC fails immediately. But I just wanted to end on an annoying note, so this isn't necessarily as relevant, but just a reaction. So Occupy Democrats saw an opportunity to supposedly get some cheap political capital here and refer to her as close Trump friend Ghislaine Maxwell, found guilty on 5 of 6 counts, including conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of a minor. And yeah, you get the idea. But they're painting it as if Trump was a close friend of hers, even though he kind of knew her in passing. Like, and there's not really any record to say that. But that even after he's out of office, the Trump derangement syndrome seems to carry on.
But also there's that one incident in which Trump does actually talk about Epstein on camera, and it's when no one else was alleging he was a nonce. And he just says, look, some stuff's going to come out in a few years and you don't want to be around him. Like, he's a bad, bad guy. Like, if you were a nonce and wanted to carry on with your nonce friend, you wouldn't publicly say stuff like that on TV, alleging he's a nonce, because, well, you'd cover it up, wouldn't you? Whereas Bill Clinton never did such a thing.
Yeah, if they were being honest, close Clinton friend would have been much more accurate.
Yeah.
But surprisingly quiet about that. That's funny, isn't it?
Not interested. That's Occupy Democrats for you.
Well, moving on to Labour incompetence now.
Yeah, so I thought I'd have a bit of a self-indulgent moment and just look at Labour.
So it's the end of the year. We've got to point and laugh at something.
Yeah. So Labour have decided they are going to train normal and competent MPs. That is a promise, a manifesto promise, that their MPs will be normal from now on. Please believe us. And I thought we'd start, we'll get into that in a minute. I thought we'd start with just looking at one of their totally normal MPs, such as David Lammy, the absolute lunatic who thinks Pope Smoke is racist. And in here, he decided to also apologise for nominating Jeremy Corbyn as leader to some Jewish group, which is just, okay. The Tottenham MP admitted he was staggered to learn individuals with held deeply anti-Semitic views and had remained within the Labour Party. I'm absolutely shook. It's not like I was on the front bench with Jeremy for years, and everyone knows everyone in the Labour Party, so there's no way you didn't know this. But, okay, he's absolutely shook that there were anti-Semites in the Labour Party. I'm sure to believe it.
I don't know how he can try and pull, like, I was clueless. It was just, I mean, it was national news, well, wasn't it?
Do you know, I remember when he did that thing, he was like, I haven't seen a copper all day, and there was a copper right behind him. So it's the same thing. I haven't seen an anti-Semite in 4 years, and just behind him is just loads of Labour Party members.
Anyway. Each side of him on the front bench, isn't it?
So, quote, I've met some of these individuals, and I'm frankly staggered that some are still in the party. They're still there! This is the best part. He just said, yeah, they're all still there. So nothing's really changed. But as a lawyer, I understand that people can appeal and go to court. There is a process which can feel slow and torturous at sometimes, but it must be undertaken. So, okay, they're going through the process of being kicked out of the party. You know, Starmer can kick them out unilaterally. It has done. He even did it to Jeremy.
They don't even need to do anything, do they? You just say, you're not in the party anymore.
Ba-bam. Bring the party into dispute. Bye-bye. And didn't do that for these people, which David Lammy says are anti-Semites. Okay, we have it from the horse's mouth. Paying tribute to Starmer, he added, I don't believe the overall culture is toxic anymore. Just, okay.
Really?
So, I mean, it was literally 4chan-esque. But don't worry, now it's like, I don't know, .gov.
Did he not see the Labour Party conference where there were more Palestinian flags than probably in Palestine itself?
I did the compilations. I know. Check them out. He gave a speech there. I saw you there, David, without your mask as well. Like everyone else, but okay. And he says, but it will continue trying to be a party that is genuinely welcome for everyone as we remain on a journey nuking Israel. On nominating Jeremy Corbyn as Labour leader, one of the 35 MPs to do so in 2015, he offered an unequivocal apology. Quote, I regret nominating Jeremy Corbyn, and if I knew what I do now, I would never have nominated him. I never believed he would become leader.
What?
I nominated him to become leader because I thought he'd fail. Think about that. Okay.
David Lammy, political strategic genius,
yes,
over there.
I only back causes that lose. That's why
he's in the Labour Party.
That was a mistake, and I'm sorry for that. Okay, so that's the caliber of MP you've got already. And that's front bench material right there. I think he was in charge of justice. God knows where they moved him. And now we'll go to the future. So what is the future of the left wing in Britain? Well, normal and competent MPs. That is the promise. That is the campaign promise. Our MPs will no longer be absolute freaks.
It's just such an own goal. Just like, we were neither competent nor normal before, but we're going to do it this time.
We hope. Please believe us. The article says in here, as the group of veterans take their leave, a new generation of ambitious Labour activists aspiring to enter Parliament are waiting in the wings. The fruitcakes. Not only are the new safe seats up for taking, so too are red wall constituencies held by Tory MPs on paper-thin majorities. So this is a lot of seats that they're hinting at that have been, let's say, vaguely normal people. I mean, they're still Labour, but vaguely normal.
I don't think getting in some young zealots is going to win over the disaffected working classes. I don't know.
I mean, we have a few examples of those people as well. We feature them many a time. Yeah. And they're always just a meme, quite frankly. During a meeting with the NEC late this year, Starmer told attendees that, quote, we can't afford any more Mike Hills or Claudia Webbs. Name dropping my girl Claudia there. We can't afford any more of her. The former resigned as a Labour MP in Hartlepool in 2021 for claims of sexual misconduct, while the Leicester East MP, Webb, was expelled from the party after being found guilty of harassment. This is where she was threatening her lover's ex with throwing acid in her face, and at the same time being like, I stand for women's rights in Afghanistan. Even though you're doing the same thing as the Taliban, radio. Further quote, we need a new intake of Labour MPs to reflect the diversity of the country and have the key set of skills to be potential government ministers. Carter Hurst added. And
how are they going to have the potential skills to be government ministers?
But also, do you not see that you got Claudia Webb because of diversity hires? Like, we went through it. She was literally picked because diversity. And now you're like, yes, so now we need MPs that reflect the diversity of the country. You want less Claudia Webbs, by doing the things that got you Claudia Webb. And that's going to make normal MPs learn nothing. So nothing's going to change. That's at least good to know. Continues. In July this year, Labour launched its Future Candidates Programme, which offered aspiring MPs the opportunity to join a bespoke course aimed at moulding the party's next generation of prospective parliamentary candidates. So they're going to try to carefully pick out the lunatics, is the idea. Thousands of Labour members applied to the programme, but only 360 people were selected onto the programme by the party. Some argued applications belonging to Labour's left-leaning factions were deliberately rejected by the party. One candidate, who didn't make the scheme, suggested that identity politics were a factor at play. Yes, as stated by the person running it, that said they wanted the diversity of the country.
Wait,
why are you complaining?
Someone in the Labour Party is complaining about identity politics?
Someone in the left factions in the Labour Party is like, identity politics, not having this. Only when it hurts them.
Sooner
than it hurt their chances, they're like, well, this
is... It all makes sense now.
So I don't get what his problem is with that, by his own logic. One senior Labour activist told Politics Home that a standout characteristic among those being groomed by the party is the quality of being, quote, normal. That's can we please have normal people?
That's such a high bar.
Yeah.
Like parliamentarians from, you go back through the years, they're well-spoken, well-educated.
Can we at least have them not screeching every 5 minutes?
Just want them to be normal, please.
Could we try get ones that don't threaten people with acid in office?
I imagine Keir Starmer gave this direction whilst rocking in a corner.
Everyone around me is mad. Quote, they're normal people that haven't got the sort of wild hobby horses which are so far out of the interest of ordinary people, they said. They're not people who bang on every 5 minutes about Cuba or Venezuela. They are in touch with modern Britain and where it is today. Don't worry, they only bang on about their pronouns every 5 minutes instead of Cuba and Venezuela, presumably. And also that rapists should be sent to female prisons. I'm in touch with the people of England. And if you doubt that maybe they think that the rapists might go to female prisons, or even just if they're foreign, not go to prison at all, we can check in with another MP. Another normal MP. I love how... I feel like there should be a quote... Like every time you write, like, Labour, normal Labour MP, Lisa Nandy.
Just the prefix to any MP from Labour.
The Right Honourable is the normal. Anyway, so this is Lisa Nandy here. And this is quite a sad story, and it is kind of a bummer to end on. But I want to demonstrate it because I can't really believe it, frankly. But is it real? And as you can see here, this is her account. And she's celebrating refugees welcome back in, what was this, 2015? Before the Mama Merkel situation in 2016 and the subsequent... just absolute failures to even enforce borders across Europe. Click on that first image there because I want people to remember this, which is that all of these people who engaged in this campaign, quite frankly, evil. I were not thinking in the slightest of any of the people in this country. So refugees welcome Wickham there. Very proud of what she's doing. Standing there with her Labour Party store behind her, Labour Party stickers, all that stuff. Well, how did that go? Well, we can go to her constituency and have a checkup, shall we? Let's go to the next link, please. Man accused of Wigan Town Centre rape. Man, just a local man, a Wiganite. His family's been there 200 years.
Whenever they don't specify, it's always like a red flag that something's going on.
Is it a trans man? But I don't know. Would they tell us? They wouldn't if it was. A Wigan hotel resident has been accused of rape. Hotel resident.
I get the feeling that they weren't just there on their holidays, were they?
He works down at the pub and he couldn't go abroad, so he went to the local hotel for a holiday. Who's his name? Abalobo... Okbazge.
Nailed it.
Beautiful British name. 26 of the Britannia Hotel is there. He appeared in court and the borough justices brought charges of serious sexual assault of a woman on Saturday, December 18th in the Wigan Town Centre. Because of the seriousness of the allegation, the case was immediately sent to be heard by Bolton Crown Court and Okbazge was...
Okbazge?
Okbazge.
That's definitely not it.
I don't give a toss. He's accused of rape. I'm not being polite to him. Who has yet to enter a plea, was remanded in custody until the first appearance in January 24th. So we will get his plea then in the new year. And the thing is, Nandy knew about this situation with the hotel residents. It's not the rest of just the staff at the hotel are like, no, it is residents. And they're all asylum seekers at the Britannia Hotel, apparently. Let's go to the next link.
It's kind of rubbing our noses in it that it's the Britannia Hotel as well.
I put an archive link in the reading list for that because I swear if they try and change that and cover up the... Whoever wrote that article, there's something deeply wrong with you, frankly. Anyway, so let's read this one. This is back when I can say that she knew about this situation. MP calls for Wigan Hotel to stop housing asylum seekers after an incident involving schoolgirl. So security has been stepped up and the council is in talks with the firm management of asylum seekers at Wigan Hotel amid claims of schoolgirls being watched and harassed. She knew. She knew that this was a situation. Called for it to be changed. Why did she call for it to be changed? Quite noble, you know? Maybe she realised that there were problems and therefore we need to solve these problems. She didn't, but we'll get to it. Several parents of the Standish area have told Wigan today that they are stopping their daughters from going out because groups of men have allegedly been filming their PE lessons at a local high school, winking and passing comments at them in the street, and in one instance, surrounding a 12-year-old girl and filming her. This was 10 men who surrounded her. We'll get to that full story in a minute. These aren't light things. These are horrific things to be happening in a local area, especially when it's right next to goddamn school.
And it didn't have to happen at all.
Refugees welcome. Where is this? As you can see there, listed just on that image, the Britannia Hotel. It is exactly the same place. And, well, Lisa Nandy had something to say. Wigan MP Lisa Nandy said she was appalled that the Britannia Hotel in Standish was being used to accommodate vulnerable asylum seekers.
What?
What?
The asylum seekers are the victims, apparently.
The vulnerable nonces. I mean, oh woe with the plight of those nonces who decided to skip every safe country on their way here. They're alleged to be nonces, and you're like, well, these vulnerable asylum seekers are. It's really horrible that they're in the hotel. Why? Because girls are being harassed? No, because they're vulnerable.
And
not the girls.
I think it's gone unmentioned the fact that these so-called asylum seekers, they have supposedly smartphones that they're doing these recordings on. They can't be that hard done by if they can afford.
They're all from France. They're not asylum seekers. You've gone from multiple safe countries.
Of course, yeah.
Why did you come here? Apparently, the benefits is in the noncery.
They're economic migrants, aren't they? They're not...
Well, in this case, alleged nonces.
Well, like,
that seems to be their profession rather than skimming off money. And she continues, several years after both the Home Office and services operator Serco accepted that it was completely unsuitable for the purpose and has done so with no notice or consultation with the police, council, herself, or the local community. Why did they accept that that hotel was not suitable for the purpose? Because of the horrible rooms. That's why Lisa Nandy's upset. As she says, the vulnerable asylum seekers. Not the fact that they're trying to nonce on schoolgirls nearby. No.
Well, the rooms in the hotel aren't good enough.
Vulnerable asylum seekers, mate. She demanded that the arrangements end again as soon as possible. Well, I thought refugees welcome. I thought you wanted this. You were the one demanding this. So there's also the quite sad fact. I really hope this isn't representative of Wigan. If you live in Wigan, please send us some messages of sanity. You know there are some sane people here. We have some quotes from the locals who apparently are not outraged by all this. One mum said, the behaviour of a small number of men from the Britannia Hotel has been causing a lot of upset. They clearly need educating. If you flee from your own country and want to be accepted in a new one, you need to learn how new countries ways, which you would think quite based. But she ends that with, the last thing we want is all the right-wing thugs using this as an excuse to bring their toxic messages to Wigan again and whipping up racism. I would have thought that the last thing we wanted was child rape. No, apparently racism is more and more... No, that's more of a threat to the world. People being racist. Not child rapists. I mean, these people you are saying yourself are alleged to be noncing on your kids, and you're like, this is terrible, because if they nonce on their kids, the backlash against them from racism will be unbearable.
This has echoes of, like, oh, we can't have another terrorist attack because the backlash against the Muslim community will be terrible.
Literally what she's saying. Like, we can't allow them to actually rape our daughters because the backlash against these poor asylum seekers will be unbearable. From the far right, right-wing thugs. Racism. Like, actual NPC. Nandy responded with a quote saying, the Home Office must stop treating councils and communities with contempt and work with our local authority to ensure suitable alternative common accommodation. She said that she was appalled that the Home Secretary Priti Patel hasn't even had the courtesy to respond to a letter of concern she had sent to her on the issue. I imagine Priti Patel, quite frankly, just sent Joker memes back. You know, you get what you effing deserve, Lisa.
Yeah, suitable accommodation is a different country. How about that?
That is what suitable accommodation is. Lisa Nandy can't accept that, apparently. And further quote in here. So this is the worst story in here. I mentioned as well that the staring at the PE lessons, all that stuff. And now apparently an alleged rape has taken place. Don't know if it was a child that was raped or not, because the Wigan Today didn't list it, along with not listing that it was a guy who's obviously an asylum seeker for the Britannia Hotel. They didn't say that at all in their article, so hard to tell. But Vicky says that more needs to be done. So this is another mother. Her daughter, whom we are not naming, was not approached at school or going home time, but at 8 p.m. on a popular walkway called The Line. Quote, she was coming down the line when she saw around 10 men standing in a row, all looking at her. She got in a panic and didn't know what to do. As she got closer to one of them started filming her with his phone. He said, stop, and then they circled around her so she could not get away. They said, come with us, and she started crying. Then she spotted a man she knew by sight. Now we know he is called Ross Pilkington. Chad, in this story, actually saves this girl from what could have been awful, because he had become a bit of a local hero because of all this. And she managed to duck between two of the men and run towards Ross Pilkington, who was with his little boy and dog, and they escorted her home.
Very English name there. Mm.
She says, I dread to think what would have happened if he hadn't been there.
Good for him.
You can guess. We rang the police straight away. Our daughter was sure that she could identify 5 out of the 10 of them. Some of them were quite familiar around here. They seem to have a particular interest in girls. There could be the most stunning mum walking down the street, but it's their school-aged daughters that they're winking at, trying to beckon away. Quote from the mother. You can imagine the problem she's got with her daughter now, who doesn't want to go out. And a big shock.
No, I don't blame her. Of course not.
So apparently she's got to escort her around. And it's not just her. There's all the other mums who have to escort their kids around constantly now. Because hashtag refugees welcome. You, Lisa and Andy, you did this. These people have no right to be in this country more than anyone else. They are from France and you know it. And that's a safe country. And instead, you brought them to Wigan. And at the end of this, I just have to mention, which is the incident happened on September 7th. And this week, the police concluded that no offence was committed.
No offence, no really?
Offense. I presume because it's a one interaction, they didn't actually rape her. Well, therefore, no offence is
committed. Aren't they trying to coerce a minor, surely? That's got to be...
I would have thought so.
They're surrounding her and then telling her to come with them. That should be a crime.
Yeah. Well, apparently we had to wait and now some man has been charged with raping, which, again, I'm sure he's just a hotel resident. I mean, that's a new one. I'm going to try that on. We won't say the name or where he's from. It's a hotel resident. Sorry that we're not on a bit of a bummer. And I know the outro on this clip is going to be like, if you enjoyed this segment, I did. No. But that's the state. That is the state of the normal Labour MPs. So for them even saying we're going to bring in normal MPs, what you already class as normal are people like Lisa Nandy who have done such horrible things to their own constituency. And go to hell. I hate the Labour Party. Let's go to the
video. Hear, hear.
So earlier this week, your boy Destiny went on very, very long tangent about pedophilia, and it seems to be like a very common trend among people who just keep trying to defend these people and all that. But since it is trying to be treated as a sexuality, what's stopping these people from just having full-grown adults who are rapists being treated as a sexuality now? Or like the worst you could possibly imagine? I mean, where does it stop? Where does it go?
It wouldn't surprise me if that is the direction we're going to expect. But
what, the maps?
Well, you're saying that people justifying things like rapist being a sexuality, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of reason. It could fit within the kind of ideological framework of these kinds of people, and it's depressing.
Well, the pedos have been doing it for a long time, haven't they?
Mm.
The map community, what do they call it? Mutually attracted persons or something like that? Sorry, minor attracted persons?
Ugh.
Nonce. You're a nonce. That's what you are. And they try and argue that's a sexuality. And that is rape. So, okay, just try it for people who are, you know, adult age. That's a sexuality as well, apparently. I don't see why they would be able to resist that if you're a sexualist. Goes along with queer theory. So, yeah, there is no end to it. To the next
Callum,
one.
I was talking about Lindsay Ellis. You literally talked about her the other day.
Yeah, Callum.
Forgetting that my memory isn't as good as people think. Sorry. I need more of a bit of a direct, like, you know, this is what I'm talking about, otherwise I will forget. Sorry.
I mean, you do the podcast most days, don't you? So, I mean, I don't blame you.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of news. You kind of see it all, don't you?
Best part is they even at that trade show then won an award.
Spoken like a true man.
Well, I'd love to have one of the cast of Carry On Camping working for us, so I'm not going to say that's true. I don't know what else to say.
One of my, for the I think it was the Q&A stuff that we did on social media. Someone didn't know my name and simply knew me in their head as Psychology Al Pacino, which I thought was hilarious.
Do you want to change your name on the website?
Yeah, I'd actually rather that.
That's pretty good, actually. thanks, Alex. Let's go to the next one.
Safe spaces for students of colour, of course, to be segregated off and don't have to be a damn whitey near them, which is not British.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. That ain't a British thing. That's called cultural appropriation. That's my culture's. That's my culture's thing. How dare you try to steal something that was so important to my culture and my family?
That's brilliant. I never thought of that. There's Southern pride. There's my property. God. I'd really love, it's got to be, there's always like that one black guy who loves the Confederate uniforms and the flag, right? And that's whether get that guy. I'm sure there's one in your town somewhere if you're in the South. And I'd get him to do that at a BLM rally. Like, when they're talking for safe spaces for people of color, they'd be like, that's my culture, you appropriate man. They will lose it. Oh, that really cheered me up, thanks. There's no audio on this. We're seeing Chet with his
there we go.
His daughter here.
Do you like the dudes?
Yeah. Okay. I'm playing.
Oh, that's not why I'm out. What is it? I forgot.
Is he our dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say to Chet?
Say to Chet.
That must be on Christmas Day. That looks like some cookies and carrots there.
Yeah. Unless you're really cruel to your daughter. Here's your dinner, no, raw carrots.
That's really nice. I mean, hopefully you do the painting as well, because from what I've been told by Carl, it's a really nice kind of relaxing thing to just sit down and do some painting. But I've always been horrendously terrible at anything that involves like physical art.
I could never be bothered. I used to have a load of Imperial Guard, and I'd even just leave and watch spray paint in black and be like, eh, job done.
That's the laziest way of doing it.
I just spray paint them. I wasn't interested in the aesthetic.
I can't fault you for that. That's exactly how I was.
First time I played, I can't remember the game. It's not 40K. It's the one with like the huge robots, and it's like if you wanted to play with Titans and not bankrupt yourself. Epic?
Yeah.
Is it Epic? Okay.
John says so, yeah.
Yeah. But I remember the first time I played 40K was actually with my brother, and he'd brought some Space Marines, and he was like 4 years older than me. And I was looking at him, I'm like, they're really cool. Like, cause they look awesome. Can I play the game with you? And he's teaching me the game. And I had just like little army men, because you know, you get huge packs of them for nothing. And each army man was a Space Marine. We just played as if we had the same number of guys just to learn how to play it. And I got destroyed somehow. Like, just by the rolls of the dice, like my entire army got deleted. And I killed like two Space Marines. Army man, not good models. But anyway, that's wholesome. Let's go to the next one.
Hi guys. I've been thinking about the pill. We have the science to make this thing, but I've never heard anyone ask the question whether we should. Further to that question, our morals and our politics are all downwind from the environment we find ourselves. And so, truly is the question, is not the disaster of the Western states because we chose to take up the position of God?
I'm not really too sure what you're getting at.
I don't think
Sorry.
All of our morals are necessarily dictated by our environment either, because there are moral universals in cultures, like killing is bad, stealing is wrong, that almost seem to have a basis in our biology. Obviously, they're not adhered to all the time.
Killing the kuffar is not bad.
Well, John has put on screen, have you met a Muslim?
It was at the point that in Islam, you can kill kuffars, and that's permitted under certain circumstances.
In civilized cultures, it...
Right, okay.
I'm just going to have to add caveats so it works.
Yeah. But was he arguing that we get our morals from God and therefore...
Mm-hmm. And we have supplanted that role.
That we supplanted that role, or was it that it led to the failures we have now?
I think he would say that, yeah.
Sorry if I'm not following correctly. I don't know what to say. That is my fault. But I should correct. What was it? BattleTech was the machine voice.
Okay. Do you want me to read some comments?
Sure. I'm gonna read some of the chat.
Okay. So about Posey Parker, Snowdog, this is damaging our children and young adults. My 14-year-old daughter now says she's bisexual after influence from my friend's older daughter. She has also influenced her boyfriend and he is starting to transition now. I have never seen a young man melt into a weak sap of a person so fast. That's really horrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
I remember seeing some of that at my school as well, like people just, like guys just saying they're gay and they obviously weren't. And then, well, like a couple of weeks later or whatever. It's just like a fad.
You're a bit younger than me. People would say that sort of thing and then they would immediately be targeted with insults.
No, it was like a cool thing to do. I got to my climbing school for some people, which, you know, it sounds so weird to the older folks I know because it's such a cultural shift. But, also, Snowdog, Bow Wow. Like, I assume it's a reference to Three Dog. I don't know.
It's also, it sounds like those insults for white people as well, doesn't it?
Snowdog.
Hello, my fellow Snowdog.
How you doing, my male monkey?
I'm Ara Wad. I'm actually a little annoyed the talk radio host hit on an actual valid point about men's spaces but didn't have any tools to effectively push back. Posey's quite happy to ignore men's safety and well-being just because there's less affecting them. Typical of a feminist to get into a... I don't know whether I can say that. I'm just going to say it anyway. Dick measuring contest. There's always room for more helping women, but never a proportional helping hand for men and boys facing the same issues.
She did correct herself later on in the point. And Carl's had this discussion with her. I remember the Posey Parker interview. You can find on lowersears.com. Just type in lowersears and then Posey Parker, you probably find it. It's premium. And they discussed that exact topic. And Carl was, well, no, men need spaces away from women as well. Not just because of vulnerabilities, but also because just socially, frankly. Well, women and men need their own separate places.
People should have the freedom to associate with whoever they wish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, controversial. I don't want the state telling people who they can hang around with. Or be in the same facilities with.
You should be able to say you shouldn't be around hanging around with certain people because of safety reasons. And that's perfectly valid.
Mm-hmm.
So she did correct herself on that. I know she is a feminist by history, so maybe that's just a cultural thing that she was assuming he was going to talk about, you know, golf clubs or something.
If I was being charitable, I think when people get caught onto a show, they have a specific thing to talk about, and it might be that they agreed to talk about it in the context of women's safety in particular, and then it might not make sense to bring it up.
Yeah, but she did correct herself as well on that topic, so good for her.
Captain Charlie the Beagle, I wonder if the radio host could explain the disparity as why there are lots of trans women succeeding in women's sport, yet no trans men succeeding in men's sport. It's almost as if one group has a biological advantage over the other. Absolutely. That poor man does not even know how to think at all. He's like a robot just regurgitating political garbage without individual thought, while she just points out facts. Very true.
She's done a few of these as well. That wasn't the only one. I can't remember. I sent her an email, but I didn't send the link in the email, so I was a bit annoyed. I couldn't go back and get that one as well. But she just stands there and goes, no, you can't change your sex. And they just melt like an NPC. And it's so embarrassing, but they keep falling for it. So keep it up.
Alex Fight. Posey Parker got BTFO'd on the men's only space question. I don't know what you guys are watching. She's ignoring the majority of psychological abuse perpetrators are women, and domestic abuse perpetrators are almost evenly split 50-50 men and women. Well, I literally explicitly said, yeah, men's only space is good. So I don't know what the hell you're on about.
Also, she did, as I say, correct herself. And I think we've gone over that question with the first question.
Yeah. Omar Awad, slight twist, the usual phrase, damage for they, not for me. Totally disingenuous to imply that there is no consequence for perpetuating the delusion. Yes, absolutely. Student of history, this seems to be a post-industrial revolution question of can modernity overcome biology? I don't think so. Certainly not anytime soon, that's for sure. Northamptonian Knight, talk radio being among the least propagandizing of the mainstream media in the UK, that interview is yet another indictment of the deplorable state of the sources from which most people get their news. The MSM wonder why the general public's trust is so low and still falling.
I don't know how to put this, but there definitely seem to be, you know, like the London look, like a London effect on media. And I'm not trying to be too mean, but there does seem to be something about just being in London and recruiting from London spaces that you end up with quite a few people who just...
It's a very select person that wants to live in London in the first place, right?
Yeah, but you also, you find this occasionally where it's, let's say, right-leaning outlets will hire people and everyone's shocked that you get Tom Harwood. And you have to think, you know, right-leaning compared to what? And if you're in London, it, you know, it's like going to LA and finding a right-winger and he's like, yeah, I think that maybe we should be able to, you know, it's Tim Pool. Right, you know, he's the far-right guy there.
Calling Tim Pool far right just sounds wrong.
In a context of LA, I think there is some of that effect you see in our media in the UK, because all of our media pretty much is centered around London. I don't know where Talk Radio is. I assume it's centered near London.
I think it is London, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm really glad we didn't end up there. I am quite glad that Carl made sure to be like, nah, I'm going to Swindon. Not just because he lives here, but because, you know, to hell with London.
I mean, I wasn't particularly keen. It's not exactly the nicest place to have to live. It's just a massive ball of concrete, really. No. No,
but it's just the...
I have fun when I visit my friends there. It's fine.
The culture of living in London, I think, is not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Chris Wolfe, these conversations about gender dysphoria are so awkward to take part in. People act so righteous about basic fact, a fact so basic that they get frustrated halfway into explaining it because it makes no sense. Science cannot be described through the lens of personal experience. Accepting someone's experience as evidence of scientific truth is like testing the nutrition of a pizza by measuring one pepperoni.
I will say, I saw a clip of Andrew Clavin talking about this a while back. And he was making the point, like, I'm so sick of the right wing. I'm so sick of conservatives. And he's surrounded by all the Daily Wire guys. We're like, well, what's your problem? He's like, oh, God, you people, you get excited when someone says that women are women. And you start hitting the table and being like, based. It's like, look how far we've fallen.
It's not exactly a particularly high standard, is it? It's like, yes, you've passed a test like a two-year-old could pass with flying colours.
Clavin's right. It's totally true. It's a very good critique. But, hey, look, it's the times we live in.
We've got to deal with the political discourse we find ourselves in, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It is obviously so ridiculous that we even have to talk about it. There should be other things that we should be talking about, but apparently we're now taking things from the mentally ill as, you know, unrefutable for some reason. David Ferguson, finished reading Abigail Schreier's Irreversible Damage last month. I found the endorsement of the mentally ill self-diagnosed gnosis by trained doctors peak tier weakness. You are the doctor, the patient is not the practitioner. Absolutely. If you are actually doing your job as someone in medicine, you shouldn't be kowtowing to people's delusions. You should be doing what's actually good for them. I mean, medicine is an inherently elitist thing, and
which
it should stay should stay this way, along with psychology.
This is why I let you do the comments with this one, because I know you've got a particular I don't know what the right term is, but enthusiasm for essentially your own field being slowly eroded or attempted to be eroded.
The funny thing is that In British psychology, literally no one is saying this stuff. There might be a handful of quacks here and there, but everyone just kind of is just like, oh, not those people again, shut up.
But it's the American field that's been...
A little bit, yeah, because my experience of going to university in the UK was literally no one believed this. It was almost laughed out of the lecture theatre. So I suppose that's positive, but obviously that's not everyone's experience, I imagine. But... it's not entirely corrupted at the very least. Another one by Omar. A little chilling watching the panel of hosts laugh off the accusation that biology scientist believes that he'll be censored for speaking on his expertise. They don't see it, and that's what worries me. Yeah, I mean, I think the part of the laughter was simply that he's setting himself up, and in their minds, you're like, well, why would you deliberately say something that's controversial? Because they're kowtowing to other people's expectations, aren't they?
Because the sun doesn't orbit the earth. You know, that's the reaction.
Okay, moving on to Maxwell, Duffy B. With the Maxwell record sealed, is it full justice? What has changed when the other conspirators go unpunished?
I mean, one of them's dead, so...
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. At least she has now been punished. I mean, that's something, but it's still not enough, obviously. I'd like to see the other people involved in this to be prosecuted, obviously.
Court trial. Do you know, there's a Historia Civilis. I like his channel. He ended up blocking
Twitter
for mocking him, which is funny.
He blocked you on... Oh, no.
Yeah, I made fun of the Democrats. He didn't like it.
Oh, he's... Well, you've ruined my day.
He's left leaning. Which, whatever. You can
he
tell
makes good,
his,
so...
He thinks the Rim Republic was good. No, he did actually blog me, but there's a video he did recently that was quite good about animals being put on trial.
Mm-hmm. And they were yeah, like, I've seen that, yeah.
Like the rats being put on trial. Let's put Jeffrey Epstein's body on trial. Why not? Who cares?
It's just so ridiculous.
So?
It'd be, do it for the memes.
Well, do it for just, I don't know, like moral cleansing of the United States or something like this.
I mean, was he already found guilty? I can't even remember now.
I think he was charged and he killed him. So
he was suicided, I think.
Yeah, we should put the body on trial. Have all the evidence out. Try, we can hang him.
Sheikh Silver, this conviction isn't justice. It's just a cover-up. The state gets to claim they've got the bad guy and pushes a narrative that there's just two rich weirdos doing this for self-gratification with no looking into the powerful connections and blackmail operation they had going on. With the ceiling... Oh, I've just launched up in the notes. Sorry.
Which one were you reading? Which name?
Was it gone? It was... Shaker Silver, I think, is midway through. I've got it back now. Where was I? With the ceiling of records, this question will be memory hold with the rich and powerful, never facing any scrutiny in their lifetimes. I would have actually much rather the state failed at this and say are just as culpable for the crimes and deserve whatever hell that would have been wrought from the public embarrassment of failing another time with Epstein's death in the eyes of the public. No, that's a fair point, actually. Although I would rather her be convicted, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to disappear because the people who are the victims are still carrying on trying to prosecute the people implicated, aren't they?
Well, we're not going to get it, but full justice would have been Jeffrey Epstein just spilling the beans himself.
It would have been nice, yeah.
Yeah, if he just came out and went, you know, this person, that person, all the names. And that would have been what we're all looking for.
I mean, I was even more cynical. Yeah. I was expecting Maxwell to get off on some kind of technicality somehow. So the fact she was actually found guilty at all was good enough.
It's more than you were expecting.
Basically, yes. I'm just too cynical, apparently. Amara Ward, hate to be black-pilled cynic, but Ghislaine's sentence is at best a crumb of justice and they give us to satiate our hunger for justice and stop us asking questions about certain little black books. Justice would be arresting and investigating every rich elite and famous person that went to that island. It's a big club and they're all pedos.
Yeah, I love
I
it.
Mean, I
no,
don't
that shrine,
disagree.
That like, weird shrine he has on the island. Dust it for prints. Anyone's prints are on there. You know, you could get the prints of everyone in the black book, just subpoena them or whatever you have to do.
I mean, they should carry out a massive wide-scale investigation, and that's just not happening, and it's frustrating. Sorry, but in a country where you can get the death penalty for one crime, albeit a bad one, surely you are found guilty on five charges each, carrying a 15 to 40 year per charge. Surely that's enough to justify death row, hopefully carried out in a place witnessed by legal representatives rather than three hooded men in your cell.
Where was she tried? Was it in New York?
It was New York.
Do they still have the death penalty?
I don't think they do. That's probably why she didn't get it. It is unfortunate. I mean, that would have been true justice, wouldn't it? But given the circumstances...
Look, she's still getting the death penalty. Clinton sorted that.
So. Maxwell being found guilty is a double-edged sword. Now they are sealing all the records and being sentenced will appease the normies into asking any more questions. I'm certain if the public knew the names of all the people that are involved, all the top politicians would be strung up tomorrow. Ooh. Reece Sim, it's definitely good that Maxwell will be going to jail. However, the blackout of the trial probably means there'll be no justice beyond this point. It's a sad aspect of how crime doesn't pay, but if you have the ability to pay, you can do the crime. Let's also hope that Maxwell grows a conscience and reveals some names before her inevitable accidental fall on a prison shiv 20 times.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the ultimate silver lining. I don't think she's going to do it. If she's been acting like someone who's got away with it the whole time.
Yeah, I'm somewhat sceptical about anything amounting to it, although it would be nice, obviously. It's just my cynicism that they're not going to find the other people, are they? Let's be honest. That has already been settled before the trial even started, in my opinion, at least. Do you want to do some of the Labour comments?
Sure. So Freeborn JJHW says, Labour used to have normal, competent MPs. They came from trade unions, shop floor workers and the like, and they had an understanding of what normal life was like for most people. They were thrown overboard by Blair et al., who wanted nothing less than the destruction of our country and our way of life. I always hear this, you know, I keep getting told I'm wrong, but I really have a tough time imagining a Labour Party like that, because I've just never seen it. But if you tell me, maybe it was. Who was it? I think it was Harry kept trying to convince me there was a certain MP you could name. I've forgotten their name now, but maybe once upon a time, but still, I look back at it when I'm reading books on, like, the Cold War from Robert Conquest, and he name drops, like, Labour MPs making propaganda for Stalin. I'm like, these aren't normal people. maybe there were the 50%, and the other 50% were fine. Anyway, Freewill2112 says, if anyone watched footage of the Labour conference, it quickly becomes apparent that the potential pool of candidates who could be trained to be normal is quite shallow. I do appreciate they have to be trained to be normal. They don't start out normal.
This did occur to me, actually, that the footage from the Labour Party conference, it was just like a bunch of kids in dungarees, just like, oh, for goodness sake. It's like you're going to art college, you're not...
Comrades... And what Awad says, Wigan police, we asked the migrants and they weren't offended at all by the attempt to rape. No offence committed. Oh, come on. Callum Dayton says, hey guys, can you remind me what Labour said about training competent Watts again? Because it sounds like New Labour being New Labour or the Party of Socialism, Palestine and pedos. By the way, go Chad Ross. Yeah, I mean, Ross Pilkington in there. Coming off like it. I love it, Pilkington as well. Just, you know, if there's any relation to him and Kyle. No, not Kyle.
Carl.
Carl Pilkington. I'd love to know. I'm thinking of Carl Rittenhouse. Ignacio. Yep. Illegal immigrants to the West have a weird tendency for the grossest of crimes, regardless of where they choose to stop. Sexual deviants, thugs, thieves, and terrorists. But remember, refugees welcome. And again, I have referenced this a million times, but we did like the interview with Ji-Yun Park, who's a North Korean defector. She is an individual who cannot go back home. She cannot stay in China. She is a place where we can say, okay, we will spend the money to give you a place to stay, bring up a family, you know, integrate to the country. Mm-hmm. She has. And every one of these people, I mean, never forget, it's not just that these people are obvious chancers, obvious nonces in this case as well, alleged. It's also that they always take up places for genuine refugees, because there are genuine refugees who deserve these places. And every single one of them is stuck in a waiting list in some, you know, slave situation in China, waiting for a place to pop up in a place like the UK. And Omar and Mohammed and Digby, or whatever the hell else these people decide their names are, on the boats coming over, they don't deserve them. They don't deserve them. And they take a place for someone who really does. Sorry, bit of a rant. I really hate it. On David Lammy. Kevin Fox says, Josh, of course he would be so clueless he's a Labour MP.
I mean, it is a prerequisite, of course.
X, Y, N, and Z says, could the BBC cock-up be due to the BBC hiring on immutable characteristics and not skill sets?
I think that was about the mistake in the Maxwell trial, talking to the lawyer, wasn't it?
Who were the reporters? I'd love to know if they were diversity hires. I mean, their trainee scheme is still discriminating against white applicants, so...
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
Wouldn't surprise me. Freewill2112 says, you cannot deny nature or its power, end of. North Antonio Knight says, it's funny how Maxwell trial had a near blackout in the MSM compared to the Rittenhouse or Chauvin trial.
Yeah, it was very quiet considering the actual significance of it. Just like, yeah, you know, obviously the Rittenhouse trial was important, but it's not elitist paedophile ring important. I mean, that's something that should be global news for years, if not longer. And yet, for some reason, she's like, nope. We're going to push that one under the rug. That's fine.
If anyone's watching who's a legal, knowledgeable person in the US, and you know why there's a differential between Rittenhouse gets cameras and a live stream.
I think it's it's the New York state laws. They don't allow cameras. I think me and Carl went over that. Carl, what? I'm getting confused now because you're confusing Carl and Kyle. And now I'm doing it the other way around.
So when you did the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, it was... You found out that in New York...
No, the setup of the Maxwell trial, they mentioned that they didn't have any cameras in there, but supposedly it was because of a New York state law or something like that, right, where they just don't allow cameras. And it's not something, a special treatment for Maxwell. It's just something that they do by default.
Okay. I don't agree.
Although I don't necessarily agree. I think all trials should be public knowledge unless there's a specific reason why they shouldn't be.
Because I know it does make a bit of a public spectacle out of the whole thing, and I know there are a bunch of lawyers who will have an opinion on this. And mm-hmm. get into debate. But as a mere pleb, being able to see justice in real time and being mm-hmm. able to see the full details, I think is far more valuable I mean, just take Rittenhouse's trial or Chauvin's. If you watched any mainstream media on Chauvin, even British, you know, right-wing stuff, you could not get what Chauvin's defense was. No one could explain it. And yet we could just watch the trial and then talk about it. And it was, you know, now you know. And if that was no camera, we would have never been able to know, I think. Because the level of the lack of transparency there. I think the transparency is worth it. Also with Rittenhouse.
Although
you were advancing on him.
Chauvin's perhaps not the best case because I'm still of the opinion that he did nothing wrong.
Sure, but you could see his defense. If it was all Maxwell style, you would have never seen what Chauvin's
defense. I get what you're saying now, yeah.
You also see some of the things like the pills chewed in the car that no one ever mentioned. Anyway, going back on old history on that one. Where was I? Chris Wolf says, one thing about the woke imperialism from yesterday's show that is that if the West is pushing a feminine ideal on the savage world, then surely she is being a bad mother for daring to fight dragons while her babies cry at home, being the West. Yes. Also,
good analogy, yeah.
There was a really funny point he made in there that was, okay, the West may be destroyed by wokeism, but women might be able to get some rights in Saudi Arabia.
We're going to destroy the West.
I'm going to destroy the West so that foreigners can have rights. I know. It's not a good deal for me. Why would I do that? Anyway, we're out of time. So if you'd like to get more from us, lotusdiaz.com, subscribe, gets access to premium content, funds the show. You know the drill. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you.